Welcome back to Musings of a Book Collector. This is yet another episode in our series devoted specially to Masechtas Chulin. This is episode number 6. And like I mentioned in previous episodes, any comments, criticisms, feel free to email me at aliezerbrot@gmail.com. If you want to reach out about some of the materials, maybe I could send you a PDF. That's also possible. And sponsorships are available. Now, we are returning to discuss the person of interest that we were discussing the past two episodes, which is the work Igros HaMoifes from Rabbi Shmuel Jamo, Rabbi Shmuel Auger. And it's now we're up to the part we're focusing on his work on Chulin specifically. We gave the bibliographical information about his other works, who he was, what's there out there about him, and we start talking about the actual work, Igros HaMoifes and Hilchos Shechita, which was published for the first time from manuscript in 2018. So, first I want to just emphasize, but I already think I said it in the last episode, but sometimes I feel that I didn't say it exactly the way I wanted to say it, so just to say recap for 1 minute. We're talking about a work that, according to the person who edits it now from Meister of Cook, this Nissim Levy, he believes it's written in 1108, and it makes sense. But I did definitely not do the exact research to check. But you have to wait to check. It will be all the different sources that he quotes, going through the library and etc. But it's somewhere around then for sure. So you have to understand, if someone went into this farm story, he's preparing to learn in yeshiva or to become a sheikhed and wants to learn chulin, there's nothing. There's no such thing as a svarim store at that period of time. This predates the Rambam. This predates the Ramban. There is almost no literature. So now, how does he master it? He learns the Masechta. And he shows a hekif in the ganze Masechta. Not only does he show a usage of the Masechta, he shows understanding of the Tesefta, the Teres Kehanim. And we could see, at least in this Masechta, he learns his backwards and forwards. He knows what's going on over here. Okay. Now, part of the story always is that, okay, so I'm making a big deal. It's in a period of time of oral. So there's not, he's not going to a farm store. But it's more than that. What we see over here is that this is a remarkable, we could see in this work a lost world. What's the lost world I'm referring to? The world of the Gainim. Now, part of the point is like this. For us in yeshiva, when we are in yeshiva, we never really, the Gainim is something, you always say that it's thrown around a lot. We don't realize it's close to a period of time of almost 500 years, 450 years. We're introduced to it possibly through, Hemek Shelish Shultis of the Netziv, or a Birchim Fischer Perlau, maybe some other things, but we don't really understand how big of a period of time it is. And furthermore, forget about knowing how big of a time it is, what took place in the time, and who were the Gedolim, and what was the literature, how they learned, or anything like that. Now, part of the facts are that before the Kairagniza, it was very hard to do such a thing. So the Rishonim was all based on secondary literature, quotes, Masiris that they had, old Masiris. Now, when you look in this work, for example, what comes out is you get to see a lost world of multiple names and multiple people and how he deals with them. And he already had, written, obviously, manuscript material of some of these people, and some of them he says he has them in Ksav Yodim of these Gedolim. So, for example, we just emphasized it's an oral thing. He refers to Rabbi Nechananel, who's a little before him. He has Kisveyad of Rabbi Nechananel. Okay? Now, Rabbi Nechananel dies 1057, so, okay, it's not that much, so much before him, but it's enough that he's dealing with at least Rabbi Nechananel manuscript. Now, he quotes Rabbi Nechananel often over here. Now, over here, so the point is, this is no longer, when you're learning Rabbi Nechananel before the Shas Vilna came along, and all of a sudden you see Rabbi Nechananel brought down by the Rush, who's getting it from a Klisheni, etc., etc. He's dealing with real Rabbi Nechananel. This is when the Rabbi Nechananel is around, out there. Similarly, he refers to Ksav Yad of Nissen Goyim. Okay. Interesting, a concept that today in the academic world is very, they discuss it a lot. A lot of times, materials of the Gainim are attributed to the wrong person. He already points to such a thing, or Rav Haigoin, and another piece of information he feels was attributed to the wrong Goin. Okay, fine. Now, the heroes of the Goinim, you say there was a lot of good people in the times of the Goinim that were the Goinim, so to speak, and one could learn about this just to see the list of even the names by going through the Geir Shoshuri Goin. But the halachic works that were the father works of Torah Shebal Peh that were transcribed and become what later on a ton of Torah is built off it is L'mashal the Shulta. So okay, he quotes it once or twice. Fine. Now one of the earliest works that we have from the Goinim is from Rabbi Yudai Goin. We'll discuss if it is actually from him or not. Is a work called Hilchas Psukais. Now, he was a Goin, it seems, and this is always a problem with the exact dating, but it seems pretty clear he's a Goin he was active as a Goin already in the year 757. Fine. So he brings down materials from him a lot. Now, in general, Rav Yehuda Goin is considered, one of the main Goinim out there as far as names when you want to refer to someone, and also he's relatively earlier on. There's a Lashon, and it's found also in this Sefer Igaris from Rav Shmuel, something that he has Maseris Mamish from the Rabbanan Savaroi, or he might even be like a Rabbanan Savaroi. Mipi Mar Rav Yehuda Goin Zecher Adoneinu Levracha Binyan Azehu Ha-Meiser Mipi Rabbanan Savaroi Shabalach Rachmei HaTalmud. Means he's giving a Maseira from the Rabbanan Savaroi. Okay, now, and he brings a bunch of pieces from whatever the work is going to be called, which is what we're going to discuss right now, Hilchos Psukos. Now, just to give some background. And then we'll be able to process what he does very briefly is like this. You want to know who's Rabbi Yehuda Goin. So again, the work I always like to quote, Shema Gedolim, you look in the Shema Gedolim of the Chidah. He has an entry about him, and he says that some people even say that he's the author of the Halachos Gedolos, which we are going to discuss momentarily. But Bekitzer, he's the author of Hilchos Psukos. Then he brings down a Masaira that he was blind. He gives a date, then he says something from Chaim Vital when he was his Sherish Neshama, which is something that the Chidah does, and then this relates to what I just brought down. Actually, he brings down that the Tzemach Tovid says, I saw an Aksavit, that he wrote Kama Sugya Yisufrakam Gemara. Okay, fine. Now, we now have in front of us Igaris Rav Shira Goin. Rav Shira Goin already is the one who brings down. He was a Goin. He gives us the years, which it comes out, I think, is 757, and he brings down this Maseira that he was blind. Amazing. Now, as a Klal Gadol, we're not going to discuss Kol HaTorah Kulo Al Regel Achas, especially the sugya of the Hilchos Psukos, especially after you see Nachman Danzig's work, which is almost 800 pages, but small print, so there's a wealth of material. This man did every single thing possible relating to the world of the Goinim and the Hilchos Psukos and everything else. So, Ayin Sham, he deals with this Maseira, that it's the first person is Rav Shira Goin. What's the story about it? When does he get blind? What's the cause? What's the story behind saying that he's blind? Is there even a story about it? Okay. Now, interestingly enough, in our work from Reb Shmuel, referring specifically to this Nakuda of the blindness, he says after he's handling, he has a whole arichus about a material. He brings down Bedivrei Mar of Yehuda Goin Harishumim. That's how he refers to it. Fine. Lufi Daiti Hamaymer Hazeh, and he brings down all Arichos, and he's Mafalpon, and then he says like this: Lufi Daiti Hamaymer Hazeh Ine Shayech Ladeinene Mar of Yehuda Goin. It's not his. And Lufi Daiti Bipnei Shu Zal Hoyamarinaim. He was blind. So Vadavar Hazeh Marchik Es Amatzias Hamaymer Hazeh Kmoi Shehu. It doesn't make sense. Ella Shamayisem Ishmoi Loi Haven Es Daiti Al Piyah Shmiyoi. Didn't hear, and he wrote it down, and that's how come there's a Tais. So basically, what the claim, so here he's saying is, he's blind, it's no way that this is attributed to him authentic, it's an authentic attribution, and now we can understand the different lashon that he says when he talks about Rav Yehuda Goin. He says, Not that he wrote it. It was written down by Talmidim. Now, so this is obviously a big discussion. What's the story? And we're not going into all the details. We're just mentioning such a thing. But the Messiah is found already way, way back, way before the Chida, Rav Shir Gain, and he's also using it. So we have showing that even after Rav Shir Gain, already early in this work, which we're dating into around 1108, it's referring to Rav Shir Gain in such a manner now. But the point is, this work has in it a bunch of pieces of Hilchos Psukos, which is the work attributed to Rav Shir Gain. Now, what's interesting is, and this is based on, if one reads up in the book that I love to quote on the story of the Gain, and besides Danzig is very technical, and I don't recommend it if you just want to get a basic, broad building of understanding what's going on in the period of the time of the Gaon, but there's a book from Robert Brody, both in Hebrew and updated in Hebrew was updated, but originally written in English. And in that book, based on the readings, he has a whole chapter about this, because these are the two significant works, Halachas Gedolos, which we're about to discuss, and Hilchos Psukos, basically the Gaon of Babylonia and the shaping of medieval Jewish culture. So it comes out from him and from the materials of Danzig, this work, Hilchos Psukos, was lost. So here we have, part of the question is, when was it lost? So it turns out, that it seems like, in 1108 at least, he had the work, which is very important. Now, Danzig, who, it's amazing what he was able to get to, we're not talking about today where you just click on a button and you could get, before AI even, but you could get to lots of manuscripts sitting in your house, wherever you are, incredible, in the days when he wrote the book, which is not that long ago. You had to actually do the research and check and see and all the things inside. So he was very familiar with the quotes in the Gersom Eifus, as he's working before 2018. He knew the quotes of it, and especially the quote for the blindness and for how he refers to him, Bichlal. So the point is, what he has the work. So we're seeing at 11, when you sometimes are trying to trace, when does the work go missing, so to speak? Anyway, bottom line is, this work goes missing, and the Rishonim do not have it. It's all through secondary sources and more and more and more. Now, when does this work get published? Okay, so this is an interesting story. Eventually, at some point in time, there's another work that's floating around. And this has the materials for, it's built heavily off the Hilchos Psukos. It's called Hilchos Re'u. Now, interestingly enough, Hilchos Re'u was a work that Rishonim had. This Reb Shmuel also had this, and he brings pieces from this Hilchos Re'u. L'mashal, on Kufcha, in page 124, he has a whole passage. He says, "Hu aperisha rashim behalichos Re'u hamiyuchas lamar yida gain v'aisei hisker marav Shimon." So we see that he was aware of this work, Hilchos Re'u. Now, Hilchos Re'u is basically some adaptation of the Hilchos Psukos, which people had, but then also it goes missing. Until 1886, when it's published. So the first time any versions of Hilchos Psukos is published is in 1886. That means the whole hundreds of years, and Rishonim also lost. They don't have it, and it's all through secondary sources. In 1886 is the first time something comes to light that's technically relating to Hilchos Psukos, but as we're saying over here, it's not the Halachos Psukos, it's some type of Hebrew edition that someone later on, after Rabbi Dagain, wrote, which is commonly found. They made Kitzurim, and especially because the Hilchos Psukos was such a prime work from such an important early Gain, it makes sense that there were other Kitzurim. Okay, great. But the question is like this. When does the Hilchos Psukos get published? So this is an interesting story, and this way too off topic for now, but basically I recommend is like this. There was a Yid, Reb David Sasson, famous Rich Gvir, Talmud Chacham, who worked on Rishonim, and one of the projects that he worked on for a while was the Hilchos Psukos. Now, he was working very hard. He was already taking over his father, who had earlier than him had started working on this project. During World War I, it wasn't able to be published. He goes ahead and tries to publish it. Now, he's in England. He's having it published in Yerushalayim. This is during World War II. So it was broken telephone, terrible, the whole story, what was going on. eventually it's published, and in the back there's tons and tons of pages just of the typos. And the problem is the work was supposed to be done and was done by a special publishing house, Mekitzin Redomim. What's going on over here? So the answer is that the librarian of the Gershon Shalom Library, Tzvi Leshem, wrote a beautiful article a year or two ago where he maps out, based on documents in the archives, the whole back and forth, what was going on with David Sassoon and the printing of this work, and the mess-ups, basically, that happened between the printer and everything. Eventually it's published. Okay. Fast forward to the early 1990s, it's republished with new material, which is some of the materials that of Hilchos Psukos, much more materials discovered by this Rabbi Dan, this Professor Danzig, and it has a beautiful Haskama from the earlier work, had an Haskama that I think was not published at the time, from Rav Herzog and Rav Hillman, the Baal Arei Yashar, because they had a close connection with the Sassoons. But anyway, the point is, there's a fascinating bibliographical story. One wants to have this article or link to the article, email me and I'm more than happy to send it to you. But kids, the point is, that's the first time that the Hilchos Psukos is even getting on the map, and Hilchos Re'u, and then later on there's more additions. Okay, we're not going through all this, but the point that I'm trying to bring out is, where could one see early sources relating to these two works, Hilchos Psukos, Hilchos Re'u, in our work? And this plays out for various sugyos that he deals with in Masechtas Chulin. Furthermore, I said one other early work, a key work, is Hilchos Gedolos. Now, Hilchos Gedolos, he actually has a different story, and he's published in 1540. So this is actually one of the main ways that people had, and the Rishonim had, the Halachos Gedolos. This is a whole documentation, not for now, but so Mimela, in Ashkenaz, they didn't know Arabic, so this is one of the main ways that they recognized Gaonic material, through this work, Halachos Gedolos. And then it's published in 1540, so if it's published, it helps it even get further on, that it helps for the story of Gaonic material, and it's one of the only Gaonic materials that was around for hundreds of years. Bekitzer, the question is, what's the relationship between this and Hilchos Psukos? Who's the author? Reb Shimon, and you refer again to the Chida. The Chida dates him, possibly brings down a date that he could be even 740, which is definitely not true. Avram Epstein, who we're fond of quoting him already because of the Elder Hadani materials, he wrote what's considered one of the best works on the Halachos Gedolos, dating it to somewhere around 824. Danzig comes to a conclusion that it has to be later, because based on quotes, okay, we're not going to get boring into all the details. The point is that it's unclear. He's not even a Goyim, this Reb Shimon, but this is where Goyim material comes from. Is definitely a lot of relationship between this and Hilchos Psukos. There's also a discussion between this and the relationship of Neshultus. Again, I refer you to Danzig and Brody all about this. But the point is, again, who is the source? Who has materials and is using it? Our Yid, Reb Shmuel. Now, just to quote one thing to understand the significance of Halachos Gedolos in general, here, Robert Brody, in the book on page 232, it was in the medieval Europe that Halachos Gedolos achieved its greatest prestige. For these authors, unable to read Arabic and cut off from the living oral tradition, it represented a major repository of the Gaonic tradition which they venerated. As a result, it enjoyed an extraordinary status, reflected not only in programmatic statements, but also in the intensive study of this work and its profound impact on later rabbinic literature. Okay, now, so the point is, he has these works. Okay, great. How is it mitiaches with them? He argues at times with Coven. Already Reb Sadia Gaon, he also brings down materials from him. With great respect, sometimes he argues. Now, I'm not going to list out all the different pieces where he argues, but I want to to show you two, three samples, if I could find them. Okay, one is like this. Of course, it decided to go away from me. Okay, I'm going to try one more place that I marked off. Okay. After he brings down a whole arichus of Gaonic material, some of the names that we mentioned and others, he says like this, V'dalecha, el yirachim alecha, shetzarech lisrachik mikol advarim elu. Reishim divrei devarai harei oylem v'harim gvoyim baram hasafak bem goli v'astir bem brurah. Vim ta'ayim begmar iyun amiti is kalucha hepech mima she'amru. You'll see, if you learn this properly, you'll see what they say is not true. Amrei she'anachnu talmidi talmideihem. I'm just a student of students. B'chol zois ein anachnu nisra'am melahavir es ha'sveikas ha'mefiyas panachoseyem. V'day lon rabbi sein anelem shloi kol adayin mishoylech bekfaseyem me'ayim bekseveyem masig aleyem. V'hoyl shamalocha zois himlech ha'shamayim v'advar meil nisru'um le'iru le'machshavet tlu'im bediyuk u'besavnos choy v'al kol mishavinam les amets begilu muvanim. To go through and learn this carefully. So if it's something, then he goes on and says, if it's something that's a Messiah or B'yadam that we have all the way back, then you have to accept it. And Lamar Yalach and Kabul, Ve'im Ladin, Yeshuva L'Roisha, Mamadis, Nevdal, and Zemizev, at Kufas, Murchakais, and Wazu, Ainzum, and Anim, Noshel, Yizgalis, Soydis, Chachma, Soylu, Mucharim, that Hashem is at times will add, will give Chachma to someone later on. Ve'loy L'Roishayim, Loim Nesha, Rishayim, Mein Musugalim, Nesha, El, Ma'atzim, Mechachmas, Lekwal, Kfutsa, Kafir, at Sinai, Aloy Tira, as Mamre, Rishayim, Rishayim, Anela, Midei, Bekishtas, Tali, Milsa, Betaimu, Tali, Milsa. And he has similar such pieces, beautiful such pieces, again and again throughout the Sefer. So here we see, at this time already, he's a little later than the Gaonim, the late Gaonim, Reb Sadi Gaon, and some others, and even Reb Hai Gaon, and he says these Lashonis Keseder again and again about them. Okay. Now, in the course of the work, he brings down a work, Medrash Hashkim. Okay? So, the question, and so you might think it's a medrash, and the question is, what is this work? The answer is that it's a lost medrash, one of those lost medrashim. So already Rabbi Avraham ben Agra, in his work, Rav Palam, he collects a whole bunch of pieces of different Rishonim, the Avraham Jaham, or the Menorah Samar, that had passages from this work. He has like 3-4 pages, including the Tzara Mar about it and others, showing different passages from the Medrash Hashkin. Okay. Fast forward to the 1880s, Buber, who we spoke about already in the previous episode, when he publishes his Medrash Lekach Toiv on Bereshis, he has introduction, he has a passage about Medrash Hashkim, and he tries to collect all the different pieces that he was able to. Now, mind you, in those days, they didn't have AI, they didn't have Eitzah Chachma, they didn't have Bar Ilan search engine, so it was based on their collecting and their memory of Rishonim that they saw, and he pieces together a bunch of different pieces. Now, even though Buber was into this Reb Shmuel, by 1880, he did not have a manuscript copy of the Igros HaMoifis of our Hilcha Shechita work, so he didn't know. But there's a bunch of passages in this work from the Medrash Hashkim, and we see here that there are halachic passages in that work. Fine. Now, interestingly enough, in one of the passages when he brings it down, he says type of lashon ubal medrash hashkim hittek as divrei ma'ar Reb Shimon Kiyari. It means that he brings down the halachos gedolos mila b'mila lo yhoisef lagara levad ma'asher hevir milashon aramit lilashon hakodesh. Okay, and then he throws in another person who aderech shenagba mar chifetz aluf, another guy. Okay, so anyway, there's a lot of names, a lot of different people going on in this work. And time does not allow to mention all of them, but I would like to mention Lamashal is Rabbi Yudim Bilam, Balam, Rabbi Yonim and Janach. He deals with them. And then I just like to focus on Rabbeinu Chananel. He refers to Rabbeinu Chananel a bunch of times. He has a manuscript of his. Let me say he's holding Ksav Yad of Rabbeinu Chananel. Not a through different sources, which is a remarkable thing for us today. Okay. Now, he has no problem at times to argue on him. And mind you, Rabbeinu Chananel is not that, he's not 200 years away from him, so it's not the end of the world. But he argues on him, of course, Bekovit, but a bunch of times. But he brings him also a bunch of times. Now, then there's something very interesting. When he refers to Rabbeinu Chananel a few of the times, he says some type of Lashon, which at first, okay, I didn't read much into it, and then I realized possibly that what's going on over here. When he talks about Rabbeinu Chananel, he says like this: "Am Rabbeinu Chananel, Kabbalah hi biyodenu mei Rabbi Seinu, blank, whatever the halacha is." And he says this a few times. Once you see this more than once, you're like, okay, is there something behind this Rabbeinu Chananel using such language? The answer is like this: it's well known. Rabbeinu Chananel was, throughout the generations, we had it mostly through secondary sources. He had it through primary source. We're saying not only primary source, he had it through a Ksav Yad of his. Fine. So, one of the works that Shas Vilna, in the 1880s, when they decided to publish a Shas, they made sure to get, based on the recommendations of Buber and with, through the help of the Dukei Seifrim and others, publish Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, great. So they go ahead and publish. They get a hold of it from the different places, the whole story. What? Okay. So now people start bringing it down. Most notably, the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah brings it down a bunch of times. Rabbeinu Hananel, Nitras Chadash, fine, Gervaldik. Comes on the Chazon Ish, and we know in the whole debate, the discussion, if you can rely on new manuscripts, are they good for the Jews, bad for the Jews? The Chazon Ish is not into it, to put it mildly. In the course of one of the passages that the Chazon Ish talks about it, I believe this passage is in Baba Kama, the Chazon Ish is talking about Rabbeinu Hananel, and he says very nice words. He says like this, he says there's a Taifa'ah by Rishayim when they talk about Rabbeinu Hananel. He says like this, the Divrei Rabbeinu Hananel, hey, Divrei Kabbalah, Tzarech Perusha. What does that mean? Rabbeinu Hananel, Dover Misvara. He didn't say Rak Masha Kiblu, V'chein Rabbi, V'chil Rabbi, say now Ravina Ravashi, Loyam Rak Dover Misvara, Rak Masha Kiblu, Alay Vade Kulam Kiblu Masha Kiblu, V'chitchu Masha Chitchu, Kamai Kol Rabbi Sein Rishayim. Le Harbe Pama, Apesim Cholkan Rabbeinu Hananel, V'nei Chayshim, V'nira, the Rabbeinu Tam, Shimish Gadol Echad, Now, it's interesting. It says over here in this Rosh HaTevis, V'nir the Rabbeinu Tam. I'm not sure if I typed this up wrong or there's a typo somewhere along the lines, but the point is, V'nir the Rabbeinu Hanan El Shimish Gedayla Echot Sheyezachem B'Yoyser V'Yezachem B'Yoyser V'Kibel Mimenu Hadvarim from Chaver B'Nedar, and he was a point of a person that had a ton of information. And therefore, he had he was a Messiah, a very important link in the Messiah. The Zen doesn't like Hashivas Miyuchada, Shadiris Holchim, Musmatim, Mishu Asher, but of this Arishalim, Yeshbek Tushi, Yaseir, Vachachma Yaseir. Aval Ain Zemene, Melachlakal, Aval Smach Rais Brewers, but you can argue on him. Ashikas, the Dirk Kabbalah, Hanimi Doro, Dirish Akadmulai, Aval Ain Zakaveya, Shane Devar, Mikumbal, Mechachmea Gamara. Ella, Kol Shakroy, Yaze, the Chachmin, Gwar, Yesh the Hashim, Yaser, Noitim Alamis. So if someone has a right, you say he's explaining what's going on when it says that the Rishayim call Rabbeinu Hananel Divrei Kabbalah, Kinereh he's an important chain in the Messiah of Gaonic, of whatever, Gaonic material turns out true, yeah, also, but materials from the previous generations. But one could argue, if you have clear eyes, this is clearly found in this Igaris Maifis from Reb Shmuel. That's what he's saying. It's a Kabbalah. And that's how Rabbeinu Hananel spoke. You say it's not even the Rishayim saying about him. Rabbeinu Hananel, I have a Messiah. But sometimes, this Reb Jama, he argues on him. When? Specifically, when he has clear rights against it from the Gemara. Gevaldik and Akud over here, okay. Could be I am just reading too much into it, but, you know, let me have my fun and don't ruin it for me. Now, one other passage I think we'll say relating to how he talks about himself throughout the work, if I could find it. Kaseder, he talks about that he got the Chachma, Hashem Yizrach gave him the Chachma, so to speak, which is a Lashon that's found elsewhere, but let me just see one other passage, if I could locate. Okay, this is in general what he'll say again. If you look at it, it is stakla shitchias, and you want to be machria like whoever he's referring to, that's fine. Aval imnamik b'divrei malachikas shekadmulai, then you will not come to that conclusion. And I bring my own conclusion, but there's a lot of other fascinating passages, and time does not allow for us to go into all of them. Okay. Now, so basically, part of the excitement that I'm trying to bring out from this work is this is a work very early on. It has live Messiahs of Gaonic material, and how he's mitiaches with these Gaonim, how he refers to them, and other works. There's other names of people in here that are also important, that were, so to speak, lost names. He has materials from Rav Hai Gaon, he has materials from Nissen Gaon, and a lot more. Now, his relationship with Reb Sadia Gaon, I, Mirtz Hashem, hope to discuss at a later point, because that plays out in different sugyas over here in Masechtas Chulin. But I just would like to mention 3-4 more pieces, and that's it. Number one is like this. He has arichos about who could be a sheichet. So he goes into the discussion of what was relevant in his day. All arichos about karayim, and what are karayim? And he defines it. He has a few pages about it. Okay, fascinating. So for those people interested in that type of stuff, about karayim and the history, Ayin Shem. Another discussion which Mirtz Hashem, maybe I'll have more information at a later point, but he has about Gid HaNasha on birds. He brings down that there were people that had a Messiah. Isser Gid HaNasha is not on birds. That's the Maskana of the Gemara. He brings down that there were people, it seems, that they came to the conclusion that there is. Okay? Who are these people? So one of the people is Rabbeinu Ephraim, a Talmud of the Rif, which helps us in dating the work. And he has another person also, a Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Al-Asad. Okay, fine. Now, it's clear, and he goes very strongly against this, a few pages, that it's avada, it's not true, they don't know how to learn. And he says he even wrote a special work about this to disprove it, which seems to be lost, but he brings, luckily here, he brings a whole passage about it from this work against them. So here we see, preserved like a whole back and forth against, it seems, to Talmidei Chacham, and he says that they're wrong, they're young, they don't understand how to learn, that's it's incorrect. Now, it's interesting is, part of the story, when Rafiemi gets up to it, maybe we'll discuss this more, but it brings us to Rav Yirmiyah, and he says an interesting lashon, because Rav Yirmiyah was famous throughout Chassi, he asks all these interesting questions, and the Gemara remains with the Teiku. So he's also a player in that sugya. And he says that part of the nekuda of Rabbi Yirmiyah was to be l'hachiyos es ha-machshava l'ranin es ha-psachim, meaning say the mayach. And this is a very fascinating thing, that a lot of times a question that someone asked, and Rabbi Yirmiyah, who's legendary for asking all these complex questions, it wasn't to stump the rabbanim, so to speak, it was more about to help a lot of times. When you have a question, it gives you clarity to figure out what the different stadim in the sugya are. So that was Rav Yirmiyah's goal over the year. But anyway, Mirtz Hashem on the sugya of Gid HaNasha, perhaps we'll return to it. But he brings over here this lost, discussion of a few pages that Gid HaNasha was shayach even by birds. Now, I Googled it for one second. I saw there was some type of story of Gid HaNasha by Eifus in recent years. I don't know much about it, and I did not have a chance to look into it. But it seems to be that the Maskana of the Gemara and everyone is, Gid HaNasha is not by birds. Fine. And just to conclude with 3-4 more passages, and that is like this. I apologize about it's already a little longer. Number one. Who should be a sheikhet? So part of the discussion is about that. So here he has beautiful discussion. And in one of the passages when he talks about it is, he says, he already talks about the Gemara. Everyone knows who's a Tam Chacham, state in Gemara. Daf Yomi already learned it. Tam Chacham, Tzarech Shimu, Shloish Advarim, Ksav, Shchito, Mila. Fine. Agav, he brings down a Messiah from Rosh Hashanah in there already about something. And then he says like this. Vashaychit gam king tzarech liyois meforsim bavoidis Hashem ubichasidus. Miyuchas leamuna, uliyir shamayim bedasa yishmirasim, neshezeu inyin hanoig al pi ashra, veloi roilim lois pay al misho yichacha datiyo yisav ubichal kom shedis ksheir yichayzim. Okay. So, just to give a drop of context in Amir Tzashem, this is a topic that I will return to in perhaps a few different times, but like this. What he's trying to say is a sheikhid is supposed to, kashrus, everything, is all dependent on that sheikhid, to make sure that he does what he's supposed to do properly. So, obviously, you want to make sure, if you could, that your sheikhid is a yirshamayim, and etc., as he describes it. And as we will see in historical different contexts and different pulmusim that happened with the sheikhet, and then a lot of times the literature will deal with if a sheikhet does an aveira, and the Gemara discusses what's considered if different aspects about shechita and a sheikhet. It helps when that gives us some of the context, because why we want a sheikhet to be so such a good person, so to speak, is because we're relying on him a lot for all our food, so to speak. Imagine the shtetl, all the meat, everything that's being eaten, chicken, everything, whatever it was coming from the sheikhet. So you had to rely on him, and he had a very important place in the life of the kashrus and being observing these mitzvahs of Hashem Yisbarach. Now, that's one hara. Another thing is, he said that he quotes Eldar Adani a lot. It's just interesting is, he quotes him as Reb Eldar Adani. Okay. I'm not sure what's the Rebbe Eldar Adani. I'm not sure what the story behind that is. And last thing is like this. The whole discussion of Eldar Adani, and this is going to get us ready to the next topic, it might not be the next year, but in the one of the next year, it will be about women and Shechita. That Taisis, the whole way we start talking about was that Taisis brings down Hilchas Eretz Yisrael about if women could be a shayichet, and it says that they should not in Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, and that's Elder Adani, and then we brought down Avram Epstein has also such a nusach that an Elder Adani story about women not doing shechita, and then Taisis says they could do shechita. So it's interesting is the person who brings down the most Elder Adani is Arab Shmuel. And even calls him Rebbe Elder Adani. He does not have the passage of the women and Shechita. Adarabi, he says more than once, Beferish, women can be a Shechit. Very interesting. And that is yet another point of interest in this Sefer. And as I said, there are many different interesting points, his ways, how he writes it, how he brings down different aspects. Besides, if someone's obviously someone's holding Be'in and the Sugyas, it's incredible, the materials. And as I said, part of my excitement is here we have a very early work on the Masechta, a halachic aspect, but it's not only just on the Hilchos Shechita and Treifas, it goes through other aspects relating to this Masechta, some of it which we might return to, not so much in the focus of the Sefer, but more about what others talk about, which is the Messiah of animals and stuff like that. And thank you for listening, and Mirz Hashem, we hope you enjoyed.